Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DG Ask 307. Now that, and I don't know the ins and outs of this, but now that DEI has been backed off in the government and with companies and things like that, and no more affirmative action in admissions in colleges, do you guys think that we will see a precipitous change? Or do you think that companies and schools will still do everything they can to reach what they consider to be diversity?
It's a great, I mean, I really don't know if you're backing off of those policies though. I really don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry. I think that people want diversity, and that's why those policies were enacted in the first place. But if you're a company that's going out of your way now to say, I'm getting rid of DEI, maybe you will see some changes at that company.
It's a good point.
I was going to say it's going to vary. Yeah.
I think we're seeing an absolutely incredible cultural backslide as culture shifts like pretty rapidly to the right. As we saw with, you know, I mean, that's just the way that the whole world is changing, but particularly the country is changing, as we've seen from like Zuckerberg doing his hard right turn, you know, last week and saying we're removing all diversity from Facebook and we are, you know, no longer going to have trans friendly bathrooms or whatever, you know, whatever issue it is that they decide to care about now. You know, we're seeing Elon is cementing himself as one of the most powerful people in the world and also insisting to be as far right culturally as possible. And I think we're just going to see, you know, I mean, we've got people in interracial marriages who are afraid that, you know, there are people in government who in power who want to end that, you know, who want to take that away. And, you know, other things that had been becoming more culturally accepted, like, you know, gay marriage, you know, people being trans and, you know, just trying to live their lives as trans people or whatever. We're just seeing such an incredible backslide from the progress that we had made. It's incredibly disappointing to see. And it leaves you feeling a little hopeless if you spend too much time thinking about it. If you're somebody who views the world the way I do. Now, not everybody does, and that's fine.
To what degree, as someone who is admittedly liberal, to what degree do you think that it is the left's fault to some degree for getting out over their skis?
I don't see how they did. I don't see how seeking diversity and equality is getting out over your skis. I don't see how... You know, seeking, you know, things that I was just, you know, things that are now in danger, like interracial marriage, gay marriage, you know, trans health care, those sorts of things. I don't view that as getting out over your skis at any point. I think we had made a pretty reasonable, steady pace of progress over the past, you know, 50, 60 years. And I just think we're it's a lot easier to undo those things than it is to gain those things. You know, those things are gained through decades and decades of fighting and policy and, you know, it can be undone, unfortunately, with a couple waves of the hand. And that's something that I think everybody knew. But it's disappointing to see in practice. It's disappointing to see these things threatened, and you know, Roe v. Wade being overturned a couple of years ago, and you know, things that if not taken for granted, you were just like, well, we've got these things, now they are cemented. And it's like, no, it turns out they're really not cemented at all. And the only thing that was keeping them cemented was that the culture was allowing them to happen, or our society was allowing them to happen. But the society is taking this sudden and very hard screeching turn to the right.
Why do you think that is?
I think that it is, you know, companies used to pretend, right? Like Facebook, right? They would pretend that they cared about, you know, diversity, because that's where they thought the money was, we're now finding out. Because now that it seems like the money is going to be, you know, Donald Trump is in power, one of our farthest right presidents of all time, at least culturally, and what he states that he wants. I don't think he really believes in anything, but you know what I mean. And giving so much power both in society. I mean, he owns one of the biggest social media platforms, and now he's got an actual government position, and he's a very influential government contractor in the form of Elon Musk, who is, like, admittedly trying to do everything he possibly can to shift society to the right. I think it's primarily the result of those two things, and more companies and corporations get on the side of that and get on the side of them. And then that's where, you know, the money just kind of trickles down from there, so to speak.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things that are important to understand, to me anyway. One is that we don't progress forward linearly. There's always back and forth. There's always moves forward and slides back. There's always a move left, then a move right. It always goes that way. But of all the things, if you go back 100 years and look at how the world was 100 years ago, how many times have we gone back toward any of those? We haven't. None of it's gone backward. Now, we go backward for a short period, and then we go forward another way. And I don't necessarily mean that all of these things are what everybody wants, but we have been nonstop, constantly changing these standards since the dawn of society, and especially since the beginning of this country. And all of Andrew made a great point that a lot of the gains that any group of people, the gains that women made when they were fighting for suffrage, the gains that African Americans made when we were talking about, you know, the civil rights movement, the gains that have been made by the LGBTQ+ community, all of those groups made gains at great pain through great difficulty. And losing any of that is going to also feel like pain, too. But it is the way it goes. These things don't just go forward in one direction and stay in that direction perpetually. There will always be back and forth. There will always be this shift back and forth, left and right. And again, not saying good or bad, not my point. My point is it's just not linear. It is not going to go in one direction and stay in that direction perpetually. It is going to do this. And I do think that the vast majority of people that push for any kind of equality in any way, regardless of how you want to categorize that, the vast majority do not cause problems for their own cause. But there are small groups of people within that do, and that's where some of the pushback comes from. So as an example, that's not really related to any one of these specific groups of people. Not specifically, you know, women's suffrage, not specifically civil rights, not specifically LGBTQ+ issues. But an example would be the people that were screaming things like silence is violence. And by not saying anything, you are committing violence, or words are violence. That's nonsense. Words are not violence. Violence is violence, right? Words can lead to violence. Words can allow violence, but they are not that. And there are people that take those things to the extreme, and they're probably a small percentage of people, but it's all it takes for the opposition to say, see, these people are crazy. And they use that example, and that's all it takes. And then eventually people realize, oh, wait, hold on. It's not real. No, they don't all really believe that. That was just a lot of noise by certain people. And then you start moving backward in the other direction.
Which is what I think Kamala Harris was trying to do when she took over as the candidate, was trying to not scare the normies.
Right.
Right. So like, hey, we're not all that crazy. We're not that bad, but it just didn't work.
Right. And you say this, you've said it really well, Dave, a bunch of times when we talk about any of these kinds of issues. There are members of different groups of people. Again, not specific to any group, but pretty much every group that has to fight for recognition, for rights, or whatever. There are people in those groups who, understandably, are not very gracious about how people like normies speak, right? You've asked him a number of times for people to show some grace to, for example, an older generation that doesn't understand your cause as well as you do.
Yes.
And again, I think most people in the group, so using these issues with trans men and women, there are people that are of older generations that don't get it, or they don't think of it as a natural part of their conversation. And I think most people in the trans community do give grace, but the ones that don't make a lot of noise and they piss people off and they scare people because people don't want to be targeted or attacked for a mistake. And I don't think that is the majority of people in any particular community doing that, but it's what's highlighted and it's what's then blasted through various social media channels. So I wouldn't blame anybody. Like, I'm not blaming that particular group, but there are people in every group of every cause that can make people that are against them feel more against them. And that's not saying that people are against them are right. It's just part of the back and forth.
Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I can agree with that. I mean, you know, I don't think anything he said there was wrong. Doesn't change the way I feel about any of what I said.
No, and it shouldn't. It's not about that. It's just that...
But I don't disagree with him.
A small percentage of people being too extreme can lead to a lot of other people who already have a natural, maybe not natural is not the right word, a pre-existing belief system that contradicts what you're saying. It's going to create more pushback when some parts of that group are too extreme. So, yeah, I mean, use the anti-Israel protest people where they're shutting down highways. Okay, they might have a point that they're trying to make that people would listen to, but they are not going to listen to you when you are endangering people's lives and keeping people from crossing a bridge for getting for medical treatment or to go to work or to keep firefighters and police officers from getting some. You're not winning people over. You are hurting your cause. Even if you have arguments that are good, that action is hurting your cause.
Do you need the extremist to bring the issues to the forefront?
Probably, yeah. And not... I don't know if I would call them all extremists, though. I mean, like, because there was a time when everybody fighting for civil rights, people would have said that about Martin Luther King Jr. People would have said that about a lot of civil rights marches. They're too extreme. They're too extreme. Well, that's just a matter of perspective because we wouldn't look at it that way now in history. You know, there was a time, how many times have we talked about this? It, in our lifetimes that women couldn't have credit cards, you know, it took forever to get women the vote. There was a time where that was viewed as an extreme view. And now it's just like, why? No, it's not. It's totally normal. Of course it's not extreme. So it seems extreme in the moment because it's new and it's different. And new and different scares people. Over time, it becomes more accepted. Just, again, using the example of how gay people are portrayed and how normal it is to see a gay person on a TV show in public. And 25 years ago, that would have been unthinkable. Now it's normal.
My mom and dad wouldn't let me watch Soap because Billy Crystal's character was gay. Good discussion. 324 DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. So, you know, I have an unnatural hatred of Tom Brady.
Yes.
And
I share it.
And the unnatural hatred, I've been very honest about this. When I hate someone, it is 99% jealousy. But I'm rarely jealous of someone who's really, really good at something. I'm not jealous of Tom Brady because he's a great football player. He's a great football player. Maybe the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yep.
Don't take anything away from him. It's when people try to go outside the box, like him doing play-by-play or doing color commentary. And I'm Mr. Outside the Box. You know, if anything, I'm a trained lawyer. And then I end up going into radio, and then I play in a band, then I do stand-up. So I'm kind of hating on people that are like me. I get that.
Mm.
Go on.
Nobody gave you a radio career because you were already famous from something else.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady has this job not because of any skill that he has, but because he's famous. For doing something else. Now, it's related to what he's doing, but he's not a good broadcaster. Tell him.
I watched for the first time yesterday, And I tried to be as fair as I could. And I didn't think he was very good.
No, he's super stiff. He speaks in cliches. He says things that people used to say in football 100 years ago. Yesterday, he was like, yeah, I've had coaches tell me that they'd rather have all the best Jimmys and Joes than the best X's and O's. I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, I'm telling you, like, Red Grange said that.
He said yesterday that one of the teams really liked picking the ball off.
Yeah, I know. And, like, and look, when you're being paid $30 million a year to be the best analyst in the world, you better be the best analyst in the world. He is on the number one crew. That's the part that bothers people, and it bothers me. Because he jumped the line because of who he is. He didn't earn the top spot on Fox as an analyst. There are 10 guys on that network that are better than him. They're all better than him. He should be working the worst game on Fox every Sunday. He should get the two last place teams going ahead until he gets better. And when he's better, he can have any of those jobs if he ever gets to that point. And it's kind of the same thing that irritated me about Tim Tebow doing the baseball thing. Like, you're not a baseball player, but you're going to use your fame and the fact that people like you and you're popular to go do a job that keeps someone else from actually pursuing a career.
Okay, but devil's advocate, is that Tom Brady's fault? Or is it the executive's fault?
It's both.
Who keeps scheduling him to do the best things? And they want him for a reason, and it's because people who love Tom Brady are going to watch that game because Tom Brady's calling it, right? Like, that's the whole point.
No, I don't think that's true.
So then why did they hire him?
Because they're egomaniacs. I mean, it's the same reason why they pay Carrie Underwood $1 million a week to do a 45-second intro song to Sunday Night Football that nobody cares about. It's all about their ego saying, I got Tom Brady. I got Carrie Underwood under contract. I mean, I'm convinced that they don't even understand or care what makes a good broadcast.
But wouldn't it make Tom Brady, like, kind of an idiot to not take that opportunity? Like, is he supposed to go, oh, you know, out of the kindness of my heart, I know I don't deserve this, so I shan't be doing it.
Give me, like, the worst game.
Right.
Well, no, that's exactly what I would expect someone who has a shred of self-awareness to do. I'm not good at this. And all I'm going to do being on this is look like an idiot. But see, the problem is that Tom doesn't think that he's bad at it. Tom thinks he's amazing at everything because he was amazing at football. Because he was. He was brilliant at football. I don't believe there's ever a greatest ever at any one position because it's impossible to measure. But if you're having the conversation about the greatest, it has to include Tom Brady, right? Like, he's one of the all-time greats. But being great at that, like, look at so many of the great broadcasters. They weren't Tom Brady. They weren't the best players. They weren't just the most famous players. They were personalities. Terry Bradshaw was a great quarterback, but he's funny. You know, I use this as an example. Mike Shannon was an amazing athlete. He could have been. There are people that thought he would be a Heisman Trophy candidate as a college football player. He was a great Cardinal on some great Cardinals teams. But his legend was more about Mike Shannon being a person than just what his baseball card said on the back of it.
Welcome back, DGS. Wheels was just making a funny little noise with his straw. Can you do that for us? Pretty good.
Nice.
And then what's the tie it in a knot thing?
Well, you don't tie it in a knot. You kind of, like, twist up both sides of the straw.
Yeah, so you get the air locked into the middle, mm-hmm.
And then you flick it and it pops.
I missed that.
Yeah.
I remember the first time I saw someone tie a cherry stem into a knot inside their mouth.
What?
It's pretty amazing. Goodness.
You never seen that?
Oh my.
I've heard of it in theory.
No, people do it. I was like 13. I'm like, first of all, second of all, you should be a millionaire because that's the craziest, most talented thing
I've
ever seen.
I thought that was just like a movie gag.
You ever seen that, Dave?
I've never seen it. I've heard about it, obviously.
We got to find someone
but
here.
I can't do it.
You know Fred Bodmer can do it, right?
He certainly got the paperwork to tell us how.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, he just seems like that kind of guy. So we'll figure that out.
He can fold a manila folder into anything.
Origami, little swans.
What if he had a whole zoo of manila folder origami animals?
Oh, he's got something. Awesome.
We need to build him a shelf and have him do that.
You know what? I'll tell you this. This is no joke. You know, Fred is like an incredible collector of, like, old-time sports memorabilia, like some of the coolest stuff. He showed me some photos that he found at a garage sale just a week or two ago. Unbelievable old time stuff from like Sportsman's Park and things like that. Yeah.
Do you think Fred's ever walking down the hall and he's like, oh my gosh, they're talking about me again?
Yeah. He's told me that.
Every time I see him, I'm like, I'm sorry, Fred.
Yeah.
Another underrated Fred thing. Have you guys ever seen his wallet?
No.
No.
He has a wallet that's like, it's like a Bible. Like, it's so big and giant. And one time I made him go through like everything that was in his wallet.
I can't judge because I had that for a long time.
What a strange thing to do.
I had to know.
And did he do it willingly?
Yeah, he did it willingly. And he didn't have weird stuff
outside
in there.
Of the $7,000 that were in there. What was making it so big?
He just had like he carries a bunch of like cards,
like rewards cards.
Yeah, like various like cards and stuff.
I used to do that. That's how my wallet. Like, I got this one. I need four more punches.
That's why you had to go tactical with it?
Yeah, that's why I did it. I had to reduce, yeah.
Fred is so low-key, but Fred Bottomer is one of the funniest people I've ever known.
He is very funny.
Like, when he got that award last year, and he just did, like, stand-up for 10 minutes, it was so great. I love him. Anyway, a little melting and a little refreezing, right?
Right. It's refreezing now. Everything's cold. Let's take it certainly through tomorrow. And I think Wednesday, too, we can probably throw in. Tomorrow, if we see a couple of snow flurries in the morning, let's not be surprised. It's no big deal. More sun in the afternoon. 28.7 Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. We're going to clear out, and it's going to be quite cold, obviously. Wednesday's quiet, sunny 29. Thursday, sunny, cold start, but better in the afternoon. It will be warmer, 41 degrees. Friday is partly sunny and 47. So pretty good melting Thursday afternoon and much of the day on Friday. Should be some rain moving in late on Friday. Rain on Friday night could end as a little bit of wet snow as we go down to 31, 32 degrees. That opens the door to some colder air again. Saturday, 37, Sunday, 24. There's been a lot of chatter about a storm over the weekend. I'm not going down that road yet. I don't want to get sucked into the abyss.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. No, I'm good. Because we've talked about the January thaw. Is there a January thaw? We've talked about all that stuff. So, yeah, we're just kind of riding the wave together.
Right.
Headlines, Rage?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, so the U.S. government announced new regulations to restrict the export of artificial intelligence chips and technology, aiming to keep advanced computing power in the U.S. and to its allies while blocking access to China. The rules will limit the export of AI chips to most countries but allow unlimited access for U.S. allies. They maintain a block on exports to China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea.
Can I take this somewhere else?
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen with TikTok? Speaking of China.
I mean, all signs point to it's going away on the 19th. So I watched a video. It was actually a TikTok this weekend explaining what was going to happen. So the App Store is going to be barred from distributing it. So you can't download it anymore. It will still stay on our phones, but it won't be updating. Mm-hmm. And apparently TikTok goes through updates like at least two or three times a week.
Wow.
So eventually the experience will probably just become so bad that we won't want to use it anymore, is what I had heard.
Will we be outlaws if we use it?
I don't think you're going to get in trouble or anything.
All right.
I didn't see any type of mandate that's like, you must delete it from your phone or you're committing treason.
Yeah, I was like, wonder if they're going to be like marking all of us.
I wonder if Donald Trump will have the power to get them back in because he loves TikTok. Like once, because it's supposed to go like on the 19th and then he's sworn in on the 20th. And you wonder if the 21st, if he can do some executive order and override it.
Pardon me, but wasn't he originally the one who wanted to ban TikTok in the first place like several years ago?
Yes. Yeah. Changed his mind.
Yeah.
Oh.
It helped him out, helped him to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the interesting part will be, because obviously, if I'm understanding it correctly, the Supreme Court ruling is simply saying that a new law is enforceable, right? So you could still change the law. The Supreme Court is not saying TikTok must go away.
Yeah.
It's just saying that there's nothing unconstitutional about that law.
So they could just have the Republican-controlled House and Senate just change the law.
Right.
Hmm.
I thought it was really interesting when Brad Young was talking about it on Friday, when he brought up the point that, you know, you're not allowed, foreign countries aren't allowed to own a radio station or a television station in the United States. I had never thought of it that way, but that was, you know, a good point that
Brad is so smart. Brad,
oh, yeah.
Brad is everything I was not as an attorney. Like when I ask him that question on Friday and I'm like, hey, look, this is really unfair. And he's like, I just read the whole opinion.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't read one whole opinion the entire career. Like,
all right. Let's
yeah. See. It's interesting though, because like China owns land in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They own something like 400,000 acres in the U.S. Saudi Arabia owns an aquifer underground in Arizona, and they own the rights to that water. So the people in Arizona who live in a desert can't use that water without paying China to do so. I'm sorry, Saudi Arabia to do so. So if we can sell underground water to Saudi Arabia and we can sell land to a country that we're allegedly somewhat hostile with, we can't use an app.
And it's so weird because my understanding is that they will steal information.
Right. That's the worry.
Yeah. Like, I agree with you, Wheels, that if our intelligence is worth a crap, we should know that. And then it should just be immediate. Like, hey, as a national security...
It's just shut off.
It just shut off.
But I would also think there's an interesting point to be made here that, and this is what I've wanted to hear, so I'm no expert, but my understanding is so many of these internet companies gather our data and they just sell it to people who want to buy it. So why couldn't they just buy it from the other companies if they want the data about how we do things?
Blue Origin postponed the debut launch of its new Glenn rocket due to anomalies encountered during the countdown. The mission is delayed by at least one day. The mission does aim to establish the company as a competitor in the satellite launch market against SpaceX.
Do you know how many astronauts would be killed if I were in charge of this?
They'd be like, just put them up in a space. Who cares?
I would. They're like 30, 29, 28. We have a leak. God, just go.
Did you guys? You've already hit the button.
Yeah, he hits it early.
You hit it at 29, and as they're like, oh, wait a minute, we can't take off yet, it goes,
but you see, there's there's worry that we're putting too much into space and that these things are all going to start running into each other and raining debris down.
Gravity,
yeah.
The movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of junk up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there is. Along with a Tesla floating around. Remember whenever Elon launched
that
Tesla? With
I forgot about
Spaceman. And it was like, oh, cute. And then it's like, wait, that's just space junk that's going to be up there for eternity.
That's probably the one that'll take us down.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's a whole
It'll be
car.
A Tesla battery that falls on somebody.
A recent survey conducted in Greenland found that a majority of respondents support the idea of Greenland joining the United States.
Saw that.
This is a poll by Patriot Polling. It revealed that 57.3% of respondents approve of Greenland becoming part of the U.S., 37.4% disapprove, and 5.3% are undecided.
That's one thing.
There's only 416 people, the sample size, so I don't think it's
but
the
there's
most
only 56,000 people there.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
That's one thing I low-key love about Trump is just his ability to go like, I don't even know why everyone thinks Denmark owns it. Like, who says those kinds of things? But who knows? It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like people who bring up points like that, it's a fair point. I'm sure there's an answer. But
it's the same way we own the United States.
I don't know it.
They took it and won it hundreds of years ago. And nobody took it from it. Nobody took it from them. And now these days, we try not to do the whole take things from people by violence. So we, you know, talk about them.
That's where we went wrong.
Yeah.
Let's do one more story and let's make sure it's about Chuck E. Cheese. They're adapting to a new era of kids' entertainment. They've gotten rid of their animatronic band that used to be the centerpiece of the Chuck E. Cheese birthday celebration. The restaurant now has app-based tickets, video games, and trampolines. And they say the new approach is working. People are willing to spend for these type of events. And if they can keep the experience consistent with what the kids are looking for, I think they've done that.
So the first time I went to Chuck E. Cheese was with my kids, but we had Showbiz Pizza.
Oh, yeah. We had that, too.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And that band was like Nightmare Fuel. And I was like 18 when I went. I'm just like, I don't want to be alive.
Something's up here.
Something's wrong.
I don't think I remember seeing any of the bands because I couldn't have cared less. I'm like, where are the video games? Where's the skee ball?
I feel like I missed out on like a key part of childhood. I never went to Chuck E. Cheese or Showtime. I've never seen like an animatronic animal band, and I feel like I missed a core nightmare.
Don't worry, little Bucky. I'll take you.
Yay!
They were a little past it.
That's what I was angling for.
They were a little past it by then, I think.
They still had the band, I think, when I was like,
Still had the band. I saw the band.
No, I just mean like they were those things were past their prime.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like I don't think my kid ever wanted to ask to go there.
Well, I mean, that's what was so scary is they would malfunction all the time.
Mm-hmm. And, like, no, I mean like the idea of going to Chuck E. Cheese. Yeah,
I get it.
Because when we were kids, that was the thing, man. That was like everything. Whose birthday party's at Chuck E. Cheese?
Really? Oh, that was your childhood.
Huge deal, yeah.
Cool. Wow. All right, thank you, Dave. Appreciate it.
Okay. I can tell that we
are going to be friends. Update.
What's up?
Cherry stem tying with your mouth.
Who can do it?
Who you think?
Maria.
Maria Kina.
I knew it was Maria.
I knew it. I told you I knew she could do it. I just went out there and I'm like, hey, you've heard of this, right? And she's like, heard of it? I can do it. And I'm like, rock-a-cha.
It's just how?
She's going to tell us. She's going to do it tomorrow. If you guys get, because I have a busy morning. If anyone can get Cherry's, she'll do it tomorrow.
That's...
Man, have I hurt the credibility of the KMOX newsroom. I'm just taking them under.
I think this is a massive increase to credibility,
actually. Okay, I see your point.
I see it from a different angle.
Thank you. You knew she could do it.
Yeah, I did. I almost said it in the last segment, but then I was like, no, that's kind of like disrespectful.
Yeah, like I'll let
that's
her
where
say
we're different.
It. I don't need to say it.
Dave just goes out and asks, like, hey.
Can you tie a cherry stem with your mouth? That is a difference with me.
Sean Malone's like, I can do it. And we're like, no one asked you.
Shut up, Sean. Stuart's like, I majored in it. Shut up, Stuart.
I wrote a book about it. No one asked.
You just go buy the cherries.
I might be going to Schnucks in the morning. So
nice.
Yay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. No promises.
Okay. What?
This What's is going an evergreen
on? What's
thing.
Going on
Nothing.
In your
I just
mind?
I still I don't I can't figure out how you do that.
Maybe she can teach you.
Maybe
you
like hold
trip.
It in between your teeth.
It's
I don't
a tongue
know.
Thing.
So you go like this.
Well, yeah, but you got to brace it with your teeth. I would think, right?
Oh, yeah. Now everyone's an expert.
Kevin, if you went home and showed Susan that you could tie a cherry stem with your teeth, would she be impressed?
Yeah,
or would
your
she be like,
would your stock go up or down?
Probably go up. New skill. You know.
Yeah.
Shows that I'm still learning.
He's growing. He's changing.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I texted Trish and said, do you know about this? She says, yes, I could never do it. Wasn't supposed to mean something.
It means you're awesome is what it means.
Oh, I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
we'll
okay,
save
we'll
it.
Do it on
save
Wednesday.
It.
We'll
save
do it
on Wednesday.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's save it.
Yeah, I can't miss that.
No. It's your baby.
It is my baby.
Dave's canceling his interview so he can come
right.
Dave's
like, forget all
time.
That important stuff.
Calling Mike Bush. Look, Bush. Something came up.
You know what? I have a better story for you.
Mike, I have one question
forget
for
Noda.
You.
Forget Noda. You just be down here at 1 p.m.
Mike, I have one question for you. Do you know how to tie a cherry stem with your teeth?
If anyone in television can do it, it's Bush.